Michelle Bentham, Michelle Bentham Creates Podcast, here on the air with you. That's hashtag MB Creates. Or if you're following on other social media as well as Facebook, you can do hashtag Journey Through the Gospels. That's what we're doing. We're journeying through the Gospels. Right now we're in the book of Matthew, and we are reading through a chapter at a time. Sometimes we just take a portion of the chapter and we read through it for each podcast. If this is your first time on, you can find me on Facebook at Michelle Bentham Creates, or you can find me on Twitter at Michelle Bentham. You can also find me on Instagram and Pinterest at Michelle Bentham, and then on LinkedIn, Michelle Bentham, Inspired Artist and Communicator. So glad to be on the air with you again today. Finally back on video, which is exciting for me. The videos are found on my website. That's MichelleBenthamCreates.com. So today we're going to be diving into our 27th episode of the podcast. So at this point, we are 1 week away from 4 months worth of recordings at about a half an hour each related to the book of Matthew. And so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16 today, and I just read right out of the Voice Bible. So, and I show you my Bible because I want you to see that I mean what I say. When I say I take my notes right on the pages of Scripture, it's exactly what I do. And so I want you to grab your favorite translation of the Bible. Mine happens to be The Voice by Thomas Nelson Publishers. But you grab your favorite version of the Bible and you read it for yourself. Push pause right now on this video or this airing of the podcast and read all of chapter 16. For yourself. It's 28 verses. We should be able to get through all of it today. And so with that said, I'm going to say a prayer while you push pause and go read your chapter. And then when you get done, just hop back on and we'll pick up right in verse 1 of chapter 16. Father God, I thank you for today. And I thank you for everyone within the sound of my voice. I thank you for their desire to know you more, their hunger and their thirst for righteousness, because your word says that they will be filled. I thank you, Lord, that you're reaching into their lives and speaking to them today. By me, by their circumstances, by their experiences with you, by the people of their church and their community, that you are actively pursuing your people through your word today. I pray you would bless them in their hearing, give them eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to know you, in Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, we're in chapter 16. Woo! We're a little bit more than halfway done with the entire book of Matthew. And so it's taken us almost 4 months to get to this point, and it's going to take us a couple of more months to get through the rest of the book of Matthew. And so by the first of the year, we should be diving into the book of Mark. Isn't that exciting? So it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday kind of podcast. So be sure to tune in on those 3 days. You can catch us on iTunes and as well as in the Google Play Music Store. In verse 16, it says, they came to him together, a band of Pharisees and a band of Sadducees, trying to trick and trap him. It says the Pharisees and the Sadducees seem to be upping the ante. They keep pursuing him. They're going after him. They're trying to find things to trap him with. These are things that they've previously questioned him about, and now they're out and out going to be plotting against him. Let's see what happens. It says, now at this time, this is a note in the Voice Bible. Now at this time in Judea, the Jews, the children of Israel, are a diverse bunch. One group of Jews, which Jesus has already encountered, is called the Pharisees, and another group of Jews is called the Sadducees. The two groups do not agree about how to read Scripture. Sound like anybody you know? Sound a lot like the evangelicals versus the charismatics versus the Catholics versus the whoever you are. You know, they basically argued about doctrine. Sound familiar? Another group, the two groups do not agree about how to read scripture. They do not see eye to eye, and they do not get along. They rarely partner with each other, but here they are partnering because they are so perplexed, befuddled, and panicked about Jesus. They asked him for a sign from heaven. They feel threatened by him, and their response to feeling threatened by him is ask him to perform on demand, to prove who he is. Again, it goes back to the motive of our hearts. Every single time, it's going to the motive of our hearts, right? The parables talk about motives of our heart, the heart condition. The condition of the disciples when they were called on to feed the multitudes. The condition of our heart. At evening time, you read the sky, Jesus says, as a sign. You say the weather will be fine because the sky is shading red. And in the morning, you read the sky as a sign, saying the red stormy sky tells me that today we will have storms. So you are skilled at interpreting the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Only a cheating and evil generation, such as this world, beg for miraculous signs from heaven. The only sign you will get will be the sign of Jonah. He says it again. Didn't we just read this in Matthew chapter 12? What is this sign of Jonah? And then Jesus left them and went away. He doesn't waste his time trying to prove himself to the scoffers, the doubters, and the people who are trying to get him to perform on demand just to make them feel better about their doubts. When next the disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee, they forgot to bring any bread with them. Jesus said, "Be careful to avoid the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And the disciples were not quite sure what Jesus meant, so they discussed his warning among themselves. In some translations, it calls it the yeast of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees. The disciples say he must mean not to buy any bread from a baker who associates with the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do? We take what God says, and then we shape it and mold it to make it a rule so that we have a boundary that we don't have to cross and that nobody can cross over into toward us. Jesus knew what the disciples were saying among themselves, and he took them to task. Jesus says, "You men of little faith, do you really think that I care which baker you patronize? After spending so much time with me, do you still not understand what I mean?" He's saying, "Don't you know who I am? Haven't you been with me long enough to understand what I mean when I say these things? So you showed up without bread. Why talk about it? Don't you remember that we fed 5,000 men with 5 rounds of flatbread? Don't you remember that we fed 4,000 men with 7 rounds of flatbread? Don't you remember what excess and what abundance there was? How many broken pieces and crusts you collected after everyone had eaten and was sated? So when I speak about leaven, I'm not talking about what we will eat for dinner. I say again, avoid the leaven of the Pharisee and the Sadducee. Avoid the sins and the scheming and the judgments and the rule tending of the Pharisees." You see, the disciples still didn't get it. That Jesus didn't just come to save. He came to change. And then the disciples understood. Jesus was not talking about the bread you eat, but about the food that feeds your soul. He was speaking in a metaphor. He was warning them against imbibing the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Imbibing, isn't that a word that we use when someone becomes intoxicated? Don't become intoxicated. Don't be persuaded. Don't be drawn in by what the Pharisees and the Sadducees are doing right now. Don't let them influence you. Avoid the spiritual leaven, he says. And then the disciples understood Jesus was not talking about the bread you eat, but the food that feeds your soul. He was speaking in a metaphor. He was warning them about imbibing the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, don't entertain this legalistic teaching. Don't entertain their false accusations. Don't entertain the way they're trying to trick and trap us. Don't entertain it. Avoid it. So then Jesus says to them, who do people say the Son of Man is? Disciples say, some say John the Baptist and some Elijah, and some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And you, Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Anointed One. You are the Son of the Living God. I love Peter. I love him. What he lacked in decorum and manners and properness, he more than made up for in enthusiasm. And Jesus says to him, Simon, son of Jonah, your knowledge is a mark of blessing. Don't you want to hear that from the Lord? That your knowledge, the truth that you've attained about him and about yourself and about other people and your circumstances, that truth is a mark of blessing on your life because you recognize who God is and you recognize what he's doing. For you didn't learn this truth from your friends or from teachers or from sages you've met on the way. You learned it from my Father in heaven. You learned it by way of revelation, he says. This is why I have called you Peter, rock. For on this rock I will build my church, and the church will reign triumphant even at the gates of hell. Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Do you realize that one of the keys to the kingdom of God is that you receive revelation from our Father in heaven? That you don't just know because you were taught about it, and you don't just know because you read about it. You know because God imparted to you and made it truth in your heart as you read it or were taught about it. You received something from the Lord. That's called rhema word. It's a word that jumps off the pages of Scripture and becomes life to your soul. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Take care with the words, because they can be trouble or blessing, because you have authority in Jesus. You see, with Peter's confession, and this is a note right here in the Voice Bible, with Peter's confession that Jesus is the Anointed One, the foundation of the church is laid. In the days ahead, the church will storm the gates of hell, and nothing will be able to stop it. No darkness, no doubt, no deception, not even death will be able to stand against it. And Jesus ordered his disciples to keep these teachings secret. Some things we are not meant to share. Do you realize sometimes God tells you a secret? He tells you something that's just for you. Think about that. He tells you something that's just for you. And what if it's just for you and you give it to somebody else and they don't understand? I think Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that if they took what he was teaching them in that moment and gave it to someone else, that it wouldn't be received. You've got to know when God's given you something to pray and he's given you something to say. Mary Forsythe taught that a long time ago in a class I attended at Gateway Church, and I've never forgot it. Sometimes I might hold on to a word a little longer than I should because because I want to make sure I know whether or not I'm supposed to pray it or say it. And Jesus ordered his disciples to keep these teachings secret. Jesus said, "You must tell no one that I am the Anointed. Don't tell them that I'm the Messiah." Here's why: because they would surely kill him, and they would kill his disciples too. See, they would deem them all heretics. And that wasn't God's plan. He's given them a little piece of scripture to protect them. He's given them a revelation of truth to guard them and to protect them. So Jesus is now preparing his disciples for what's coming. Then Jesus began to tell the disciples about what would happen to him. He said he would have to go to Jerusalem, and there the chief elders, the chief priests, the scribes would meet him, and he would suffer at their hands, and he would be killed. But 3 days later, he would raise to new life. And Jesus spoke of the things to come, and Peter took him aside. He said he was sad and confused and maybe a little bit prideful, and Peter chastised Jesus. Peter says, "No, Lord, never. These things that you're saying, they will never happen to you." And Jesus, turning toward Peter, says, "Get away from me, Satan." What? He says to Peter, "Get away from me, Satan." This is the very thing he said to the devil during the wilderness temptations. "You are a stumbling block before me. You are not thinking about God's story. You are thinking about some distorted story of fallen and broken people." To his disciples, he says, "If you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, the things you think you want. You must pick up your cross and follow me. The person who wants to save his life must lose it. And she who loses her life for me will find it. Look, does it make sense to truly become successful, but then to hand over your very soul? What is your soul really worth? Then the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory and with heaven's heavenly messengers, and then he will reward each person for what has been done. And I tell you this, some of you standing here, you will see the Son of Man come into his kingdom before you taste death." Yes, Jesus is providing an entirely different perspective on success and happiness. And this new kingdom is breaking in, and a new community is coming together. This is the logic of that kingdom and that community to inhabit God's story. That is what must be done. To accrue fame and comfort and riches is counter to this new community. And the economics of this new community, real success is marked by a willingness to sacrifice one's very life to God, and the promised rewards are immense. You see, Jesus came to shift our perspective from worldly gain to kingdom advance. Jesus came to shift our perspective from worldly gain to kingdom advance. You know that when he turned to Peter and he said, "So get behind me, Satan, you're a stumbling block to me." He was not saying, "Peter, you're Satan." I believe he saw the enemy and he was speaking directly to him. I can imagine how confusing that must have been for Peter. After all, Peter was just concerned for his friend. And isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do? We get our eyes focused on the circumstances. And we try to fix the circumstances for our friends because it will make us feel better. It would have made Peter feel a lot better if he didn't think something bad was about to happen to Jesus. But Peter's motive was wrong. He wasn't protecting Jesus, he was protecting himself. And here's what Jesus said. He said, "You're not focused on God's story here. You're not focused on God's plan. You're not focused on his purpose. Actually, what you're doing is hindering it. But I need you to stop being a stumbling block and listen to what I'm telling you. You are not to focus on what's going on in this present world. You're not supposed to focus on gaining from this present world. You're supposed to focus helping advance the kingdom of God. And here's where we're going to conclude today. Jesus defines real life success as a life fully devoted to the kingdom of God, fully devoted to the purposes of God, fully devoted to the plan and the person of God. That is truly victory and successful living. And it starts with what I've been sharing on my Facebook page and in our previous podcast. It starts with focusing in on give us this day and then being obedient to what he shows you. Whether that's provision, that's influence, that's opportunity, that's resources of any kind, that's people in your life, time with your family. Give us this day and then, Lord, teach me how to steward it well. You know, we can build a plan for our lives. And a pretty good one. We can have it all mapped out. We can have our pinpoints pushed in the push board with our little dream cards all mapped out. And there's nothing wrong with that. We got to see it before we can do it, for sure. But what if all my planning, my structure, my system, and my implementation is just about building my kingdom and not building God's? We got to think about it. Like, I can work a system and be very successful, but is it truly success? That's the question on the table, don't you think? I do have some goals and I have some dreams, but I don't think God wants me to roadmap my life on my own and exclude him from that plan. And he doesn't want me to build a kingdom unto myself. You know, I've been trying to work this budget thing out for a long time now. And what I've realized is the reason it doesn't work is because I'm trying to perfect a plan that I made. And it teaches me to depend on myself. Now, I'm not talking about stewardship, and I'm not talking about being faithful and responsible and of good moral character. All those things are important, and I do believe that there's value in the structure and building a system to balance those things. But when I serve the system rather than the system serving me, and me serving God through the system, I've run against a problem. And so I just want to ask you, is there a place in your life where this seems to be out of balance? Where your focus is not on the kingdom of God, but rather on the way that you're trying to fulfill the things that you believe he's called you to do? When you get a word from God, do you immediately jump to trying to activate it and skip the process of preparation in between? It's a good question, and it's one only you can answer for sure. So I just want to leave you with this. Lord, for everybody within the sound of my voice, I pray you would silence the voice of the enemy and that you would take away the stumbling blocks. That you would focus their hearts not on their circumstances or the worldly gain or what success looks like from a world's perspective, but you would focus their hearts on your kingdom and what it takes to advance your kingdom in this world and the rewards that you've promised them as a result. Help them to focus on community, to truth that sets people free, and how they can be an influence where they live. I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's it for today. It's Monday, so Wednesday we will jump right into Matthew chapter 17, and I'm excited about that. I'm so excited again to be coming to you by both video and audio podcast, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve you. If you have comments, questions, if you have anything at all that you would like to share about what Journey Through the Gospels has meant to you, I would love to hear from you. You can email me, michelle@michellebenthamcreates.com, or you can go to Facebook @michellebenthamcreates and leave me a direct message. Same thing on Twitter @michellebentham and direct message me. I'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, remember that embracing who you are, who Christ says you are, embracing that identity, discovering what you're passionate about, inspiring other people around you, and living life fully alive is the key to a life fulfilled and a life of abundance. We have to know who we are in Christ. We have to discover what our passions tell us our purpose is. We have to influence the people in our lives for the kingdom. And then we have to live in the full abundance that Christ died to give us. And the first step to that is sinking your roots deep and blooming right where you're planted so that you can live your wildest dreams. Until next time, this is Michelle, and I'm going to be signing off. Remember, this podcast is copyright Michelle Bentham Creates 2016. All rights reserved. The music selection is provided courtesy of bensound.com. The title is Tenderness. Until Wednesday, be blessed.